Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, March 22, 2024. Some South Sudanese journalists dismissed the results of the investigation into the killing of the British-American journalist Christopher Allen.
Over 15 journalists have lost their lives. Some of them were targeted, some of them were attacked, some of them were ambushed, and some of them really fell into crossfire.
And some South Sudanese struggle to get clean water in and around the capital, Juba.
Sometimes you get water from borehole, but it is very rare. The population is many, and it is divided like people should fetch after 3 days.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A government committee charged with investigating the death of the U.S. freelance journalist Christopher Allen say the American journalist entered South Sudan illegally and was not accredited by the country's media authority to work in the country. But some South Sudanese journalists say an independent body should have investigated the killings of journalists in the country. For VOA News, Viola Elias has more from the capital, Juba.
The chairperson of investigation committee into Allen's death released its finding Thursday. David Charles Bilal, a tech expert at the Ministry of Cabinet Affairs, says, according to eyewitnesses, fighting between SPLA-IO and the South Sudan Army took place in the early hours of the morning of August 26, 2017, the day Allen was killed.
We try to see whether there's anything which shows that Christopher Allen was killed intentionally. All the witnesses in Juba or in Kaya have agreed in one thing, that the attack took place at around 5:30 a.m. in the morning. David, it is possible to see a person, whether white or now. The exchange of fire between the attack forces of the SPLM-IO and the defending forces of the government in the area of Kaya, it was not easy to know exactly whether there was a person of this kind. It was only when the attack forces were repelled. That was the time when the soldiers of the SSPDF conducted what they call damage assessment to see exactly who are there. And it was discovered that among the seven corpses were there, there was a white man which was sitting down there.
Juba journalist Rod George says the results of the investigation released Thursday did not reveal anything new about Allen's death, adding that the unity government should investigate the killings of local journalists in South Sudan.
I call upon South Sudanese government to put the life of South Sudanese citizen and that of foreign national at equal stake, because all human beings are equal. These journalists who were killed in South Sudan, they were doing their best to inform this nation in order to take informed decision and to take responsibility that is attached to the independence, so that we appear in the global map as good people. The culture of impunity, where our leaders threaten and later on a citizen will die as a result of a statement, is not good.
When the news of Allen's killings surfaced, South Sudan Information Minister Michael Mokwe labeled Allen as a white rebel who met his end in skirmishing. Mokwe later changed the narrative, insisting that Allen was killed in crossfire as government forces battled former SPLA-IO rebels. Charles Kemak, a journalist and content creator in South Sudan, says the government has done very little to provide justice to South Sudanese killed since the conflict war broke out between 2013 and 2016.
Over 15 journalists have lost their lives. Some of them were targeted, some of them were attacked, some of them were ambushed, and some of them really fell into crossfire, and some of them... So yes, with that kind of a situation, it's very difficult for one to say journalists have died and the government has not done anything. Because, yes, as the fourth estate, It is also part of the community in South Sudan.
The government of the United States and the United Kingdom have been pressurizing the South Sudanese government to initiate a thorough investigation into the death of British-American journalist Christopher Allen, who was killed during fighting in Ye County. Oyet Patrick, president of South Sudan Union of Journalists, welcomes the initiative by the government to investigate the death of U.S. journalist Allen, adding that the government should investigate the killings of local journalists in the country.
We also ask all the armed groups and the government to really follow the law of war, which requires that journalists who are in war zone or covering conflict should be protected. So we would have expected the armed group where this journalist was actually embedded with, that is the group led by Dr. Riek Machar, to have provided some form of protection to him in terms of bulletproof jacket, helmet, and things like that. Perhaps his life could have been protected. So we urge the government and all armed groups to protect journalists who are covering stories in this war zone in accordance with the law of war.
Yep Joseph is a journalist in South Sudan. He says journalists are skeptical of the outcome of the government probe into the deaths of journalists killed during 2013 conflict.
It is government who was accused and also the government who carried out the investigation. Government is trying to ensure that the impunity against journalists ends, but it is, let me say, like one-sided. There are more of national journalists who lost their life, but nothing has been done regarding that.
Last year, the government formed a committee chaired by David Charles Bilal, an expert from Ministry of Cabinet Affairs, to investigate Allen's death. Reporters Without Borders, a media watchdog, released a statement in 2017 saying the dual American-British citizen and freelance journalist was repeatedly shot while covering a clash in Kaya near South Sudan border with Uganda in August of that year after having been embedded with former rebel forces of the SPLA-IO for 3 weeks. The group said Allen was only carrying a camera at the time he was killed. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias reporting from Juba.
There is a growing risk of conflict over water resources as climate change takes hold. That's according to United Nations, which is marking World Water Day on Friday. Meanwhile, the aid agency Oxfam accuses global cooperation of grabbing water from poor countries to boost profits, as Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
In Johannesburg, South Africa, the taps are running dry. The city has seen a collapse of its water system affecting millions of people. In Soweto, on the outskirts of the city, thousands line up to collect water from tankers every day. Among them is Tabisile Mchunu.
It has been a serious challenge, a very challenging time for my age, that I have to be here carrying these 20-litre buckets. And the sad thing is that we don't know when our tap's going to be wet again.
Crumbling infrastructure is partly to blame, but scientists say climate change is causing rivers and reservoirs to dry up in South Africa and many other parts of the world. As the United Nations marks World Water Day on Friday, it's estimated that 2.2 billion people live without safely managed drinking water. UN scientists say roughly half of the world's population is experiencing severe water scarcity for at least part of the year, with poorer nations in the global south or developing countries the most affected. In a new report, the aid agency Oxfam accuses major global corporations of grabbing and polluting vital water resources at the expense of local populations in order to make profits. Quentin Guesquier is from Oxfam, France.
Water is overused by northern countries and is depriving southern countries from from access to water.
Oxfam accuses richer countries and multinationals of shifting water pressure to poorer regions by extracting water from natural sources for industrial or agricultural use and through the import of water-intensive products like fruit, vegetables, meat, flowers and bottled water. The report says agriculture accounts for 70% of water withdrawals, including through irrigation systems to support the meat industry and biofuels. But Oxfam's analysis suggests the private sector is failing to reduce its impact on water resources. Again, Quentin Guesquière.
350 corporations that have been analysed through that database, which counts for like half of the world agriculture revenue, only one of the four of them are declaring they are reducing water use and pollution.
The UN is warning this year of the growing risk of conflict over water. It says that as nations manage climate change, mass migration and political unrest, they must put water cooperation at the heart of their plans. Henry Ridgewell, VOA News, London.
Still on water issues, the World Water Day on this On this World Water Day, South Sudan's National Minister for Water Resources and Irrigation, Pal Mai Deng, says the ministry depends on partners for service delivery in the capital, Juba. Deng says his request for $9 million for providing clean water in the capital is yet to be approved by the Council of Ministers. For VOA News, Juliana Shapai reports from Juba.
The theme of World Water Day for the year 2024 is leveraging water for peace. Collaborating to solve water-related issues creates positive outcomes and builds resilience to shared challenges. Pal Mai Deng, South Sudan Minister of Water Resources and Irrigation, says his ministry is struggling to provide clean water to the residents of South Sudan in the backdrop of funding challenges.
Nile is passing through us, yet we have shortage of or scarcity of water. This is a challenge, but it is also true that no matter how available water is, the allocation of this resource from where it is abundant to where it is not is always a matter of responsibilities, and it has to come along with the financial resources.
Ajang Abraham Agok is the Executive Director of Water for South Sudan, an American nonprofit funded in 2003 to drill wells, deliver hygiene education, and provide sanitation services to the people of South Sudan. Ajang says roads access to some communities poses challenges to his efforts to provide clean water in some remote parts of South Sudan.
It's really quite a challenge also of the sustainability and how the services can be maintained. There's a lack of supplies in this country. The community are really, 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 when the well is breaking down, they don't have supplies to repair all the well. And this is where Water for South Sudan came in with Water Institute, that has been formed recently for sustainability, to sustain those services to have been provided and also to capacity build them so that they will be able to take care of themselves.
Early this year, South Sudan's economic cluster led by Vice President James Wani-Iga approved the proposed $9 million for the purchase of water tankers to supply clean water across Juba town. Minister Pal Mai says the decision to buy water tankers is important and his office will continue with the plan to help reduce the price of water within Juba town. Thomas Ojok is a civil engineer and a resident of Gudele Block 5. He says water tankers take advantage of South Sudanese living on the outskirts of Juba town.
Water tankers, they prefer to take the water far, a bit far from the where the water point is, to ensure that they get maximum gains from it. Because apparently the nearer you are to the water point, the cheaper it is for you to buy water. But the further you are, it's a bit expensive. So they are taking advantage of the situation to make maximum gain for themselves.
The theme for World Water Day changes every year, but the central focus remains on topics relevant to clean water, sanitation and hygiene, which is in line with the targets of Sustainable Development Goals number 6. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, residents of Malakal town struggle to get clean water. Find out why after the break.
Hey. Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some residents in Upper Nile State capital Malakal say they drink untreated water directly from River Nile because of the scarcity of clean water in the town. The only clean water plant that supplied water to Malakal's residential areas for years was destroyed during the 2013 conflict. Authorities in the state say they are lobbying for funds to repair the plant. Mamer Abraham Kwart reports for VOA from Maban County in Upper Nile State.
32-year-old Nyakuma Kertut, a mother of five, says her family uses untreated water which they distill for drinking.
Sometimes you get water from borehole, but it is very rare. The population is many. And it is divided like people should pack after 3 days. And you know, in the situation of a dry season, you cannot stay for 3 days without drinking water. This is the reason why some of the family members, they are drinking water from the riverside, because you cannot stay for 3 days without drinking water.
Malakal plumber John Kalang says the lack of access to clean water is exacerbated by a large influx of returnees from Sudan.
The returnees coming from Sudan, there are more, and the number in Malakal increase. That is why if the line is very long, they used to go to take water in the river. We also, if we see those people that are taking water in the river, you have some aluminium and chlorine mix to show them. You go and treat the water like this, and one jerrycan foot aluminium, and then let it take 30 minutes, and then you have to use it.
Michael Nyatho, Upper Nile State Minister for Housing, Land and Public Utilities, says the inadequate clean water supply in Malakal could discourage internally displaced persons sheltering at the protection of civilian side from resettling in Malakal town. He says the state government, the National Ministry of Water Resources, and the African Development Bank plan to address the lack of clean water in Malakal town.
They want to construct a new water plant beside this one. But when I went to Juba and said with the Minister of Water and Resources and Irrigation, the quick one, the urgent one, that where we agreed that if there is any intervention, need be one will be renovated. And that plant is decided by the African Development Bank is for the new plant. So there are two things. This one can take a month, but the new one can take 1 year or 2 years. So now we are talking of this whole water plant to be renovated.
Malakal town's water plant was destroyed during fighting more than 10 years ago. World Vision later constructed a water station along the Nile with taps, but the competition for water is still high as the population of the town continues to grow. For VOA News, I am Amir Abraham Kwart in Malakal.
The World Food Programme says Zimbabwe is at the peak of its lean season, with 2.7 million people across the country facing food insecurity even before effects of the ongoing drought kicks in. Columbus Mavunga reports from Manangwe, one of the most affected districts in Zimbabwe.
In southwestern Zimbabwe, crops in the Mangwe area have withered away. Even local farmers will be among Zimbabweans who need aid until next year. That includes 42-year-old Singazi Sibanda, a mother of three children. Sibanda says, all my crops were burnt by sun and died at early stages. I don't know how we'll get to next year and where we will be. Mangwe is one of the districts in Zimbabwe most affected by drought. Local officials say some people may have to go work in nearby Botswana or in urban areas to survive. Josephine Lea oversees Mabande's village of Mangwe for the Ministry of Local Government. He says boreholes have no water, dams are drying up, there's no grazing land, there's no grazing grass for animals. Maybe some hay will be brought from other areas to feed the local animals. Food is being distributed in hard hit areas. Evelyn Ndlovu is the minister of Matabeleland South, also in the Mangwe area. She says the government is in touch with international aid agencies to get more help. Officials say the crisis is growing worse in the region due to recurring droughts caused by the El Nino weather pattern. Francesca Edelman is the World Food Programme's Zimbabwe director.
The crop situation in Zimbabwe is very poor at the moment, and we expect that the number of people who will not have adequate stock from their own production to last them until the next harvest, which would be then by the middle of next year, that number of people who will not be able to meet their food needs over that full period will go up.
Zimbabwe's government says the 2024 grain harvest will yield about 868,000 tons of grain, an alarming 62% drop from last year's total, and far below the target that officials had set for this year. Aid groups say they are stepping up efforts to help. Janine Davis, head of the U.S. Agency for International Development in Zimbabwe, says USAID is providing funds to WFP to help people get through the lean season.
We're focusing on this January to March period, which we have identified is the peak of the lean season. It's the most critical period. But as you're mentioning, it's also important for us to provide additional opportunities so that even throughout the year, people have options and means to support their families and households.
A message that brings some hope to people like Sibanda. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's information minister says the country is working to ease food insecurity by waiving taxes on the importation of rice, maize, potato seed, cooking oil, and genetically modified maize for stock feed in a bid to lower prices for average Zimbabweans. Columbus Mavungam, VOA News, Mangwe, Zimbabwe.
It's time to hear remarks from our listeners on some of the issues in this broadcast. We start with two recorded messages.
This is Peter Gosh Anyang Majongdol in West Nile, city of Arua, Uganda. I welcome the appointment of the female deputy governor in Jonglei State. I wish Honorable Atonkwol will do more as she has been doing in the two ministries she have been serving in the state before.
Hello, Biuhe. I'm Tokfuni Yakwai from Juba, South Sudan. It is sad news to me to hear South Sudanese citizens killing themselves from Greater Bargezel, Greater Equatorial, and Greater Apanar. I'm here by calling the leaders of South Sudan to deploy the necessary unified forces, national security, South Sudan Police Service, Prison Service, Fire Brigade, Wildlife Service, and Army to protect the people of South Sudan from random killings. This is my message. Thank you very much.
And James Roy Majok from Unity State Bantu writes, Hi Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. At least the government of South Sudan should intervene to rescue every citizen from the current situation that forces everyone to suffer from inflation and encounter daily insecurity that are happening days and night across the country. Sabri Isaac Kamis from Yambio in Western Equatorial State writes, Hello VOA South Sudan in Focus. I'm excited to hear the news of land being returned to their rightful owners through justice process. It is so encouraging, and land grabbers must now be prepared to face the law, and it shouldn't only be in Juba. Let the recovery be all over South Sudan. Congratulations to the government of Central Equatorial State. Mal Adao Mal in Washington, Seattle writes, Hi, John and Nabil. South Sudan Aviation Authority is a scam. There is no bad weather at this moment of the year in South Sudan that could contribute to plane crashes. We all know that South Sudan is a garage for outdated aircrafts, and the proof is that planes currently operating in South Sudan are not allowed in neighboring countries. Cyrus Kiri in Juba writes, greetings to you. There is power in this very moment. What you do at this very moment can change the very next one. Despite the challenges the citizens of this country face, one should not give up. Only God knows tomorrow. Majak Marco Majong writes from Tunch, North County of Warap State, saying, I condemn the killing of the county commissioner of Jebel Buma by unknown gunmen on Tuesday morning alongside 14 others. However, I'm appealing to the government of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area to apprehend the perpetrators and bring them to book. Thomas Kuhn Touch in Old Fangak Payam, Fangak County, writes, hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. The highest temperature change in South Sudan is affecting Fangak County. The schools are closed in Old Fangak County, Payam, due to the highest temperature in the Payam. Gordon Salah Morangi writes from South Sudan, Juba, we love the show here and thank you for updating us every day. Views expressed in this segment does not represent the views of the Voice of America or South Sudan in Focus. Keep your comments coming and we shall sample them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202-630-8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday, March 22nd, 2024. We now leave you with Kofi Olomide and the song Fam Fam.
Motema pembe ya farina, isale langa gato ya bonheur. Zamo salamo me benengeni miango. Ale kikito kona 18%. Est-ce que ma boko na itende tangisa? Isala susuna niki diki. Fleur rose zanga mbuma. Ebato bandi marisque ya ba epine. Et bon yo flore avec va fruit. Ba épine pesev na yo miel. La fronta danger yon gonte na zoyo. A la ba cicatrice a bolingo. Yo kanga yo mawaye. Yakali. Ta poussin bazale la malili na mpokwa. Motalia ki mama la bango na ntongo. So ki abwa ki li bango lo so. Aza moto malamu to mabe. Mobumia someli ebembe serke ya talo. Eske zate faswa ko senga pardon. Cheri ko zala bongote. Oyanga moteme komi utatone. Eza l'amour to la mort. Azeli kareso bambi kayas. So ki oboye li na amour. Luka kompani ya crash airline. Kuna bate kaka biye ya deal. Soma ya business class na kufa luxueusement. Sandre nanga batiango na bokal. Avant bokanga pardon tia soy na yo. Eza la poto poto ya bolingo. Loko la mbolunge moto amoni piscine. Na papa na Saint James Rolls. BMC mwana nwele. Quand il fait chaud na mboka, bato si ba comprena na bango. Que mon pepe ouyo azo luka. Estation na ka epay yo zali. Eza ko absorbe parfum ya souki na yo. Après ka bolango na mboka, ba malade ba pema son bonbon. Ba na ba bika na maladie de la peau. Yoza mystérieuse, tu y apportes la joie. Nazanga yo na koko fae. Nga yo orphelin ya mi mour.
We've been listening to Congolese music star Koffi Olomide and the song Farm Farm. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Heinle, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again for another edition next week. Est-ce que mon amour n'est pas plus fort que mon erreur?